Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
It's the list and your boy at Fightful.com. With Jimmy Van and Sean Ross Sapp, they're on fire. Boom shakalaka.
200 strong.
And we're live.
What's up, you guys? It is April 7th. It is the list and your boy number 209. And it's WrestleMania week. We've got shows every day now. Let's see. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. Yeah, every day through next Saturday, Jimmy. Not this Saturday, next Saturday.
You know what's good about that, Sean?
Money.
I'm going to have a lot more time to watch them.
Oh, yeah? Oh, yeah. Oh, boy. Yeah, this.
That's pretty amazing.
Get it out of your system.
Our wonderful government's going to lock us down again. So I was telling Sean off the air, I would have pulled John to a Twitch to vent about it, but Sean's in Kentucky. He doesn't give a shit.
I don't. I really don't. No. I definitely don't give a shit about it on our show. But
no, and well, on any show. And in your defense, I was telling Sean, in your defense, if you and I went on a Twitch to talk about shit happening in the U.S., I'd probably feel the same. I'd say, I mean, that's too bad, but, you know, so I get it. But fuck our government. I don't like to touch politics.
Well, let's not get us demonetized. Like, we're fine. No, we're not. Not when we got those budgets at the end of the month. But leave a thumbs up, guys. Donate a super chat because Jimmy dropped the F-bomb within the first 90 seconds of a broadcast, which you're not allowed to do.
And let me just reiterate. If we are ever demonetized for something I did, I'll make good. So don't worry about it.
Well, I think you've been demonetized. I've got press credentials to an event in Hawaii. I guess I better go.
You better. Yeah.
And somebody's saying super chats aren't working. Refresh. Do your best. I don't know what to tell you. That's a YouTube issue. That's not an us issue. But the super chat worked all right for Mark Francis here, one of our good friends. So just go ahead and refresh and give it a go. And
I believe Mark's in Ottawa, Canada, so he's feeling my pain.
Yeah, he's saying stuck at work waiting for the announcement. I'm sure Jimmy's thrilled about it. Wanted to send my part. Well, listen when I get home. Well, guys, please also leave a thumbs up and all that good stuff. Subscribe. But we've got other things people can subscribe to, Jimmy. We've got a magazine.
Yeah, boy, you want to get there already. Okay, so...
I wasn't instructed to right off the top or anything.
Well, right off the top, but I thought we were going to have some friendly banter first, but...
We got demonetized immediately. No,
I did not get you demonetized.
We're going to be running limited ads because you dropped an F-bomb in the first 90 seconds. You rookie! Come on.
Should run limited ads anyway. Sometimes I hit Sean up saying, well, there's an ad every 3 minutes, man.
You don't even know what that means, Jimmy. You don't even know what that means. It means that we can't run a certain number of ads. YouTube will specifically restrict the kind of ads that we can show, and we will get paid a significantly less amount of money if you're dropping certain words in a certain time frame of that. That's because people can't change it from autoplay and all that good stuff. Ah, Jimmy.
I will miss the $12 on CPM ads that I was going to make on this podcast today. I will miss it. It means that I'm gonna have to buy a few less cups of Tim Hortons coffee on my way to the office.
Yeah. People having trouble with super chats. He says, work for me on mobile, but not on desktop. I don't know what to say. But anyway,
do you think it has anything to do with the fact that Camillo's producing? Because we had the same issue. Have you had super chat issues when you produce on your own?
No, but that doesn't have anything to do
with it. Has nothing to do with it? Okay. Okay. So, yeah, so we have a magazine now.
Yeah.
Fightful Magazine. This is something that I had wanted to do for a while. isn't that nice? Isn't that nice? Oh, you don't need to do that.
Yeah, so I just did.
Oh, this is something I'd wanted to do for a while. This is a proof of concept thing for me. Sean was dead set against it, but we're doing it because I wanted to. And it's just, like I said, a proof of concept thing I wanted to do. Issue one is digital only, quite frankly, only because we didn't get print ready on time. I wanted it to include print. Issue two will include print. I'm all over the girls to make sure that it does. And I think we'll also do a limited edition print version of issue one as well. The end product was spectacular, I thought.
Very good.
The content is excellent. The design work was really good. Shandy worked her butt off for me. Melissa, Lindsay, everybody involved did a great job. So the cover story, Dream Match, John Cena versus Conor McGregor. I recruited Alex Pulaski to write that. Sean said, Alex hasn't written in 2 years. I don't know if he'll be into it. He did it, and I thought he did a good job on it.
You paid him a lot of money. So if you would have told me that you were paying him a lot of money, I would have said, oh, yeah, Alex will do that.
Define a lot of money. But anyway, Joe Hulbert has a piece about WrestleMania 27 spotlighting Edge and Bianca Belair, which is really, really good. Brandon Thurston's got a piece about how much he thinks WWE is going to get on their next right fees deal. I have something called Vintage Vault, which is an interview that I did with Ricky the Dragon Steamboat a number of years ago. Probably the most detailed interview he's ever done. Molly Bell has a feature on Charlotte Flair that was excellent. I wrote a piece called The Toy Box about this Sergeant Slaughter prototype action figure that people question whether or not it existed or not. It's really good. Matt Young has a story about, you know, on an indie show having to be a referee and the ring announcer and the ring bell all together on a show. And R-Truth was on that show and told Matt Young that he thought his future prospects were best suited as a ring bell. So there's lots of good stuff in it, and I hope you check it out, FightfulMag.com. And like I said, issue two will include print, and I think we'll do a limited edition issue one. I got some cool names lined up for issue two. Sean knows of them. I'm not going to say anything until I actually get the pieces in my hand, but I got some Brock Lesnar. Can you imagine? I bet you he can. You know what? Brock Lesnar is smarter than I think people give him credit for.
I mean, he went to a very good college.
I think that Brock, if he wanted to, could write an interesting piece. Would he want to? Probably not. Maybe about, you know, shooting buck or something. But anyway, FightfulMag.com, really good piece of business. And issue two, I've got some names lined up that might surprise you. So
I'm actually doing right after this show. I'm working on a project for issue two. I'll be doing that today. Lots of cool stuff. I love how it turned out. I was against
really
it,
good.
But it looks like $1 million.
It
doesn't cost $1 million, my friends. FightfulMag.com. We got some super chats in. Of course, our friend Hannah says, here's to make up for the demonetization. Thank you, Hannah. Bill says, can't wait for the Jimmy Van late night podcast.
There are days you know what? Sean and I have talked about before. What if we did like a radio show that wasn't wrestling related? Yep. I could talk about a lot of shit. Sean calls me the storyteller, you know?
Yeah, you do like to tell stories.
I do.
I feel like a show either with me and you, or me and Denise, or us three would do really well, because I think there's a lot of ridiculous banter between you and Denise that should be explored. Raphael says, this is for Jimmy's F-bomb. Well, thank you.
Kudos. Thank you. There you go. And we probably just made as much as we would have on the CPM ads.
Probably.
With that super chat.
And thank you. Gutier25 says, just ordered blue cheese and the code Fightful. Going to Las Vegas in a few weeks and decided.
He wants to be ready to go.
Hashtag fuck that. Fuck. I sold a lot of those shirts. By the way, guys, speaking of shirts, shop.fightful.com. I'm making it a priority right after WrestleMania. I'm going to submit a whole bunch of designs. There's going to be a lot of cool stuff up there. Shop.fightful.com. Zach Barber says, if Seth wrestled at a time when fans paid his check, he wouldn't have said the asinine stuff that he said yesterday. Did you see this, Jimmy?
No.
Seth Rollins. Now, I'm going to pull up and open the article. That way I do not, I don't misrepresent.
Who was he talking to?
Article by Jeremy Lambert, interview with Ryan Satin on Ryan Satin's Out of Character podcast.
Fox,
he says,
Fox Sports, okay.
He says, quote, I still think social media still plays quite a role in how the shows are written and how characters are portrayed. The Thunderdome has allowed us to tell our stories a little cleaner in the sense that things aren't up and down as they may normally be. Whether that's good or bad, I'm not entirely sure. I miss the fan and live interaction, but I like being able to cut a promo and getting all the way through it without having to side-eye the audience. It's nice to get a thought out without being interrupted by CM Punk chants. I agree with him. There's a lot of controversy about that, but I completely agree with that part of it. And I've been saying this since the beginning. I think the promo aspect of it has gotten significantly better without fans, without dumbasses going, "What? What?"
I agree with that. I agree with that. At the same time, they don't necessarily know what's working, what isn't working. They can't hear that immediate response. They can't pivot. Although I will say, and we've talked about this, a lot of today's younger talent, they don't know how to pivot anyway. Like, yes. Even if, because they don't know how to listen to the crowd. They just follow word for word what they've been handed, and they don't pivot anyway. But if you're a veteran talent, you'd think that you'd want to get a gauge for how things are going live so that you can pivot. But he's not wrong. I mean, I think if Vince McMahon had his way, aside from the ticket revenue that they're losing, if Vince McMahon had his way, he'd want it to be like this forever.
That's what I thought too.
They're sweetening the crowd and everything, whatever they want.
The irony of that is they can't keep over a top level babyface when they control the audience. Now, as far as cleaner stories, I completely disagree, because they are just as all over the map now as they ever were. This right. is the most creatively bankrupt build to WrestleMania that I've ever seen in my life. Yeah. And I've started covering wrestling 2010. That build to WrestleMania, it's the worst I've ever covered. It's the worst I've ever seen.
Yep.
It's just, yeah.
Imagine when Becky Lynch attacked Charlotte Flair after their match. And that was the start of Becky's rise. When Becky Lynch attacked Charlotte Flair, imagine if there had been no fans there, because Vince McMahon wanted her to turn heel. And it was the positive response from the crowd that forced him to pivot, and she became the hottest star at a time in the company. If there had been no fans, they would have gone with that heel turn.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think they've missed opportunities because they haven't been able to listen to the live reaction, but it was
funny. I remember I was heading in Toronto right after SummerSlam that year. And I watched, I think it was Raw that night or whatever show Becky was on. I think it was SmackDown. And she did the all you people thing. And I was like, oh no. And by the time I landed, I had a message from somebody in WWE saying, we ain't doing that one again.
Yeah.
We're just letting her embrace it. Chris says, Seth had to give a you people promo on a podcast since he couldn't do one in the Thunderdome. I disagree. I thought there was some misrepresentation, but I mean, that's just the nature of it. A lot of people like to pile on Seth for being a company guy, but he also said, quote, some stories have overstayed their welcome, but we've definitely been allowed to tell fully fleshed out stories over 6 or 7 months that we couldn't get through normally because a live crowd would force creative to change course.
There have been no 6 to 7 month stories.
And not only that, if the crowd is forcing you to change your course, then you should change your course.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Jimmy, I like to apply this to how we do stuff. I had a lot of viewers when we were changing some personnel for the shows. They're like, hey, we don't necessarily want play-by-play. We don't want to hear, oh, this person did a Hurricanrana. Then they did a Head Scissors. So we don't do that on our shows anymore. Right. We'll tell you if the match is good and if you should watch it, what we liked about it, the booking direction, how it could be better, how it could be worse. If the audience gets together and the majority tell you that you probably need to change something, you probably need to change something or move away with it. I Am Lucha says, 1,000% agree with Sean and Rollins. Plenty of us pay money to see a live show and don't need idiots screaming for a guy who left 10 years ago. I hate that. I hate the CM Punk chants. I hate the Austin chants.
Yeah.
I don't like that.
The thing is, these people that do this too, they don't do it necessarily because they're a fan of CM Punk. They do it because they want to bring attention on themselves.
Yep.
That's why they do it. So, I mean, that aspect of it, I'm not going to miss. And you know what's funny? I saw Steve Austin's podcast. I believe it was with Randy Orton, where they brought up the what chat. Austin still seems pretty proud of it.
Yeah.
I would have thought all these years later that he'd be like, yeah, I kind of wish I had done that one.
Well, I think that's more him happy about using what in his promos than people chanting what today. Because the story of how that developed with Christian Cage is very funny.
Yeah, it is.
Very funny. Yeah. We got a bunch of super chats making up for though that filthy mouth of yours, Jimmy. Raphael says this is for Jimmy's F-bomb.
I'm super hot. You know what I should do? I need to swear more often because I'm making all these super chats due to that.
I don't know. You're not bringing in Steven Larson money for us yet. Kurt says, I'm super high. Healthcare worker exhausted all year, then accidentally booked off the same week as WrestleMania and the Masters. Fuck that. Fuck. I appreciate you.
His name was Kurt Benoit. Did you see that?
Yeah, I don't think that's his real name, buddy.
I'm thinking probably not. You know what came up on my recommended videos the other day? So random. It was an interview that Kurt Angle did with Jeremy Borash for Impact when he compared Samoa Joe to Chris Benoit. And Jeremy Borash's face just kind of went like this. And I thought to myself, why is that coming up on my recommended videos? But it did.
Evan Wright says, will you print the first issue or is it digital only? We're hopefully going to do limited first prints.
Yes, it's digital currently. And the only reason it's digital currently, if I'm being very honest, is because I wanted to get it out before Mania. That was my whole plan. And printing was not ready. Like we didn't have it to finalize for issue one. I will go back and do limited edition, maybe like 100 copies or something for print.
The beauty of these magazines is most of them are evergreen content. Like there is so much just evergreen content in there, which we really embrace at Fightful. We do a whole lot of stuff like that. Right. Phenomenal says, Jimmy's all over the girls. If you want to be all over the girls, use Blue Chew. Gotta love some Jimmy. Well, they'll love your Jimmy. All the girls will love your Jimmy when you use Blue Chew. Man,
we gotta move on from that one.
Move on to Rob Wilkins saying, curious, back in the day were the LGN 2-packs hard to find. My college, Minnesota State, made it to the NCAA Frozen Four and play tomorrow. So did Gable Stevenson, who we interviewed on Fightful. But what about those LJN 2-packs?
So I don't want to bore you with too much information, but it depends if he means the tag teams or the discount packs. So when the line was running its course, by like 1989, when the line was running its course, they had a bunch of inventory that they wanted to sell, and they released these really odd-looking discount boxes where they randomly took two wrestlers that had nothing to do with each other, threw them into a box and sold them as like a two pack, a discount pack. And we're talking weird stuff like Billy Jack Haynes and Adrian Adonis.
Sure.
Packaged together. So if you mean tag teams or those two packs, those discount two packs were hard to find. I didn't know they existed until a few years ago. The tag teams, I don't recall them being that tough to find.
There would be a lot of that with Jax too. Like you would see Austin, Taker, which they know we're going to sell anyway. And then they throw like Mosh of the Headbangers in there or Mark Mara. Right. And that's legit. Like Mosh even showed it off on a Cardona and Myers interview. Like he's like, dude, I got a 3-pack with like Austin and Tate.
Right. So, well, somebody had to be enhancement for that matchup.
And there's stories that supposedly like in the Jax, the later era, that Brock Lesnar specifically requested that Curtis Axel be included in one of his 3-packs.
Okay. I can like see that. Austin.
That way he would get a big royalty off of it. That's the word anyway. But Raven has said before too that like his favorite action figure is the one that came with a Steve Austin figure because he made the most money off of it.
That's cool that Brock did that too. You hear stories sometimes about Brock like that. Yeah. Every now and then you hear them. That's cool that he did that. You know?
Swiss Roll Chris says, heard Jimmy Cuss take this money.
Sean, you see? Okay. At 3:30, I might just have to go nuts about our premier, our prime minister. At 3:30,
do you remember when we did the swear jar for Denise at the beginning of the pandemic, though? Because she had never cursed on air.
I remember.
And we got her. We helped her out quite a bit there. Alejandro says, I'm hyped for tonight's NXT and tomorrow's TakeOver before I get downer with WrestleMania. Love your podcast still. Well, thank you so much. I actually think that WrestleMania is going to be good. I think the matches are going to be great. And I'm excited to hear people, Jimmy.
The best is to have low expectations going into a card. Because when you got low expectations, like there's nowhere to go but up. And I think everybody, I mean, I posted on Twitter the other day that WWE has long said that the fans are the most important thing. Publicly, they say that. And this year, that's the case because the biggest draw is that there's going to be a live crowd. That's the biggest draw of WrestleMania 37.
So let's go ahead and get into some of these topics. Of course, guys, donate super chats. We will get to them during the show, but leave a thumbs up on this video too. I can't tell you guys how important it is to leave us a thumbs up, to retweet the video, all that stuff. Let the world know that we're out there. We're doing a lot of streams this week, so YouTube might look at that and say, oh, they're spamming. So share our stuff. It would help a lot. We got a lot going.
The first thing I want to ask you about, I haven't had a chance to watch the Hall of Fame yet. And I wanted to ask you, how was the presentation? Because there were no live fans. I understood there were no inductors even.
No inductors. True? I actually liked it.
Yeah, it was good.
What they did, they had a lot of people like Big E or Bayley or Sasha on a red carpet discussing people that are being inducted and their influence on them. And I thought that was a really cool approach. And I thought it was good. It missed fans, that's for sure. I know that some of the speeches got heavily edited. Heavily edited.
Now, give me the visual. So let's say Eric Bischoff's inducted.
Yeah.
Give me the visual. So who introduces him when he walks out? What's he looking at? Because I haven't
he's looking at the Thunderdome. He's at the top of a ramp, and he's looking at the Thunderdome videos.
Okay.
And, oh, let me tell you, my heart melted when Eric Bischoff said, I'm not going to take up much of your time because I might only have 3 minutes. And then he and I loved it. Like he went into the, did I just hear myself say 3 minutes? Because there were a lot of people that he worked with over the years. Yep. And for him to give love to them, I thought was a really, really great touch. Really did melt my heart. Really made me happy, because Rosie and Jamal, you want to talk about underrated for their era. And we saw what happened with Umaga, but that was
I loved Umaga. Umaga was awesome. He was awesome. He didn't really get it. He was a little bit underrated. He was quite good. But you know what? One thing I'll say about Eric Bischoff, and I know you've had some dealings with him. He's one of those guys who, at his peak when he was in power, you know, he let power go to his head probably, and you know, he had a negative reputation with a lot of people. It seems in his, you know, most later years, he's really become grateful for the opportunity that he was given. Seems
one
like he's become
favorite interviews, Jimmy.
And you even see guys now like Ric Flair, who hated his guts, and Ric Flair now loves him and praises him. It really seems like Eric Bischoff, he kind of just became a humble, grateful guy, and you don't hear a lot of negativity about him anymore, if any at all.
Yeah, I love interviewing that guy. I try to interview everybody, I say, once a year. That's just changing now because AEW and WWE don't necessarily give us a lot of stuff. So Eric Bischoff's a guy I hope that I interview once, twice a year, every year for the rest of my career, because I learn stuff from him every time I talk to him. Like, why did this sponsor go here? Why did this one end up on this pay-per-view? And not only does he have an answer, he has an answer that he apologizes for being too in-depth and too long. Like, no, that's what we love. He is, I think he's really come to terms with the fact that people just want to hear him explain decision making, whether good or bad. And now, 20 years later, like, I don't got to review something that Eric Bischoff put forth creatively and be like, well, this is going to suck next week. I can look back on it and be like, well, I don't ever have to deal with it. Let's learn about it. And he's really, really been great. And as I often say, Jimmy, anybody who says money can't buy happiness has never interviewed Bruce Pritchard before and after he met Conrad Thompson.
I'm sure. I mean, I don't really want to talk about that. Let's just kind of move on. But the one thing I do want to say about Eric Bischoff is one of the favorite things that I've ever seen him do was the Table for Three with Jim Cornette.
Yeah.
If you guys have never seen the Table for Three,
Cornette put me over this week.
Oh, did he? Yeah, that's good. We should go back and read him the email. But if you go back and watch that episode of Table for Three, Jim Cornette was so aggressive and like kind of, you know, talking loud and kind of in Bischoff's face. And Bischoff was so cool. And the way that he almost dismissed everything Cornette said, like he just didn't give a shit. And I loved Bischoff's the way he handled that, because I think a lot of guys would have gone on the defense the way that Cornette was so aggressive. And Bischoff was just cool, and I loved it. I've seen that clip many, many times.
I am Lucha. 83 Weeks is one of the best wrestling podcasts out there. Much love for Eazy-E. It is. I really enjoy it. We always get a lot of source material out of it. I liked the legacy inductees as well. I really, really liked Brickhouse Brown being included. I love the legacy wing, because there are a whole lot of people that, quite frankly, wrestling fans today and wrestling fans that grew up when I did, they don't know a lot of people don't know who Ethel Johnson is, and they're learning who Ethel Johnson is. They're learning who Buzz Sawyer is, and they're going, oh, wait, that's the greatest power slam I've ever seen in my life. They're learning who Pez Watley is. And I think that's really great.
So I agree. And I disagree. I agree with the concept. I disagree with the selections. It's very clear to me that they put some guys in there because they've passed, and that's why. But with all due respect to, you know, some of the guys who, like you said, are maybe not big names and should be in there, Bruiser Brody should have his own Hall of Fame induction, should not just be in the legacy wing. Race, the Crippler Stevens.
He died 35 years ago, though.
Like, I don't care. Bruiser Brody was a star, sure. Man. He was a star. He deserves his own more than Coco Beware does. Ray the Crippler Stevens sure. deserves his own award more than Drew Carey does. I disagree that they selected certain guys and threw them into the legacy wing because they passed on. I don't like that. I think, didn't Lou Fez go in the legacy wing?
I'm sure, but I mean, it's like, I understand why WWE is doing this. This is for content. This isn't to.
I know. And that, entertaining content. At the end of the day, that's the whole thing. You're completely right. Yeah. You're completely right.
We have some super chats. Seller Justin Lopez says, low expectations for Mania, but I'll be there live, fully vaccinated. Really? Glad to be getting out of New York for a while and feeling the energy of a live crowd. I get my vaccine in 2 weeks. Boy, I'm excited.
Guess what, Sean? I don't.
Good for you. Good for you. David.
It'll be the end of 21 by the time they hit my age bracket.
David Dickers says, besides WWE booking things like absolute dog shite, does the huge amount of wrestling over the years also influence the build, things not being new? I don't think so. You can reuse storylines and make them good. There are a million men's storylines that have been done over and over again, but if you apply that to a female gender, it's fresh, it's new, and it's different. And they just don't do it. They get lazy, Jimmy. They have been lazy.
Vince McMahon has been lazy. I try not to say they and WWE because it's Vince McMahon.
Well, when I say they, I usually refer. I'm referring to whoever it is that's making that decision, because I don't mean to group them in completely. Joseph says, should EO be brought up to face the winner of Banks versus Belair since they haven't built any other contenders on SmackDown? No. No more NXT being diminished.
Yep. They got Chelsea Green sitting in the wings. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Like they still got people in the batter's box.
Yeah.
That they can use. Let's move on and talk about WrestleMania 37.
These super chats. People sent up
money.
Okay.
Jimmy. Sorry, man.
Zach Barber says Buzz Sawyer's nickname was Mad Dog, not Bulldog.
Right. Mad Dog Buzz Sawyer. That's right.
And Chris Rain says, love listening to Eric because he explains everything in so much detail. He has apologized for going too much in depth. And I'm like, you're getting my word count up, man. That's what I want. I want that. I want that detail.
Did you hear Taker's story about Mad Dog Buzz Sawyer?
No, I didn't.
So Buzz Sawyer is the first guy that's supposed to train Taker.
Okay.
And Taker told the story where, you know, he didn't know anything. He knew who this guy was. He showed up at his house. When he knocked on the door and said, hey, I'm here for the first day of training, Buzz Sawyer looks at him and goes, that was today? and he basically said that every day Sawyer had somebody else actually handling the training. And then one day when Taker showed up and knocked on the door, Sawyer was gone. And he had just gone, left for the next territory and left his two dogs behind in the house.
Wow.
So Taker adopted the dogs.
J.K. Schwal says, stopping by mid-class to say I love the comfy Fightful masks. Also, great job in the magazine. I actually got to get a couple of those sent to me. But yeah, we got new face masks up on shop.fightful.com. Like I said, guys, we're gonna lean heavily into that over the next few months. I've got a lot of cool ideas for that. AM says, I dislike there were two pay-per-views between Rumble and Mania. Hurts the Mania build a lot. Yeah, it sure does, Jimmy. And I mean, everybody that saw those two scheduled, pretty well said that.
Yep, I agree. And again, I understand why they did the last one. You know, I get it. It was completely logistical. They wanted to make sure Peacock was ready. I get it. Didn't like it. I think there's a lot of other things they could have done, you know, other live specials without having to force creative to throw together another pay-per-view. But I understand why they did it.
And Nerd Guru says Vince would make EO job to Nia or Lacey. Yikes. Not Lacey anytime soon, but Nia for sure.
Nia, 100%. Nia gets pushed greater than really any woman on the roster.
Andrew says, do you think Katie Forbes made an impression on Vince? I doubt it. She did some incredible YouTube numbers for Impact Wrestling last year, but Jimmy, let's go on.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to do a full-fledged preview because you did that with Steven Larson this week.
Long preview.
Yeah, and we're sure as hell not doing that. I just want to get your quick, for each matchup here, I want to get just your quick pick. That's all, just your quick pick. So night one, Sasha Banks, Bianca Belair. Looks like it might be the main event. I saw the poster, and they had the two of them in the middle, and they had Lashley and Drew kind of over on the side. So might be the main event. What are you thinking, Sasha, Bianca?
Bianca.
I mean, on that one?
I can just run down the list and tell you who.
Yep.
To save some time. I got Cesaro, AJ and Omos, Braun Strowman, now, because Steven Larson convinced me otherwise.
You thought Shane was going to win?
Yeah, I thought that Braun was going to throw Shane off the top of the cage through a table. Shane would win and then say, oh, you're stupid. Like that.
If they do that, Braun is done as any kind of a legitimate.
They had him team with a little kid.
Fair. You're right. They did.
They had all kinds of stuff. Bad Bunny and Damian Priest will win.
Yeah.
I think that Bobby Lashley will retain. I think that will be a match where they wait and see what the reaction is and they send the finish from the back.
Yep.
I think that a mystery team will win the tag team turmoil top contender night one. Also, Bad Bunny, Damian Priest. That's a slam dunk. Celebrities don't lose at WrestleMania unless they're in battle royals.
I'm with you with pretty much everything. Billy Kay and Carmella look like they're the mystery team. Yeah.
Oh, no, not that mystery team. I think we might see a different mystery team. Unless Bayley does something else, which we'll talk about later,
yep.
I think like her and Charlotte could pop up.
Would be spectacular because they should. But I'm with you with pretty much everything. I think Drew's going to win. I think Bobby Lashley should, but I think Drew McIntyre is going to win. I feel like they have already planned out Lashley's next program, which is going to be the Hurt Business thing, I feel like. And so because it was so weird watching the build for Mania when Lashley's focused on something else on Raw. And that's your Mania build when your champion's focused on something that's not Drew McIntyre. Very, very strange. But I feel like that's where they're going to head. And so I think Drew's going to win. Maybe Cedric and Shelton will even play into the finish. I don't know. I'm with you on pretty much everything else. I think Rollins will win because Rollins is the company guy. I could just see him beating Cesaro. I don't think Vince looks at Cesaro, unfortunately, the way that a lot of us do. Otherwise, I'm pretty much with you. Night two, who you got?
Night two, Riddle, Kevin Owens, because they probably want Logan Paul to do something babyface-ish. I think Apollo Crews will win. I think Big E should, though. The Fiend will win.
Yeah.
I think they should just start fresh and have Rhea Ripley win and dominate until Ronda or Becky come back.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think it should be Roman Reigns, but I think Edge will win.
I think I'm with you in all those. Yeah, I'm with you in all of those. What the hell is a Nigerian drum fight?
Big E doesn't know.
Yeah, I bet you Apollo doesn't know, and there's a good chance Vincent Mann doesn't know either.
Yeah.
So they'll figure that out. I'm with you in everything else. How relevant, and I mean no disrespect to when I ask this question, how relevant is Logan Paul in 2021? Is he still
incredibly relevant?
Is he still a big star?
Extremely relevant, yes.
Yeah.
I mean, his brother is about to be on a massive selling.
Yeah, I know, but that's his brother. That's not him. So
he's way more famous than his brother. Okay. Way more famous.
I don't watch any of his stuff, admittedly. I don't watch any
of it. I don't either. I don't either. But I know enough to know that very, very popular. And somebody just mentioned to me the Bella Twins. Like they could pop up in that tag team turmoil match.
You know what? That's a good bet because they just went in the Hall of Fame. Mm-hmm. That's a very smart bet.
Yep. Nick says Shane is. Look at the hair on Nick. Beautiful hair on that fella. His feuds never last just one pay-per-view. Yeah, I mean, that's why I thought the stupid thing, for sure.
That would be, I mean, Shane has not gotten his comeuppance really in this whole thing at all. It's like he slimed Braun, then he, you know, tricked him with the fake knee injury, and he's running around and calling him stupid and got the report card. Braun has not gotten one over on him yet. It'd be a terrible decision.
Andrew says, St. Valentine's Day massacre all over again. I would love if they paid homage to that and like they did the same spot.
Yep.
Except I would like it very much if Shane didn't break his tailbone on the corner of a table.
Right. But I think Shane winning even on a fluke is just a terrible decision.
Sure.
You know, Braun is so damaged as it is. Now, there's an interesting side note about Mania that I want to mention. And this was pointed out to me on Twitter by L. Birdman. They're calling for rain in Tampa Saturday and Sunday.
Oh, no.
As of now, on Saturday. Now, in America, do you guys use millimeters to measure rain?
I mean, if you're smart, you know them, but the metric system is not prevalently used here.
We do. So on Saturday, they're calling for 10 to 15 millimeters. I think that's a little over half an inch. On Sunday, they're calling for up to 25 millimeters, which is, I think, over an inch of rain.
Yeah.
And if that holds true, have you ever seen Hogan, Big John Studd, Puerto Rico, Sean?
No, I haven't. But I do see that as of right now, Saturday, it's supposed to be clear.
Okay. When I looked up the weather, they had the chance of precipitation, and they said 10 to 15 millimeters on Saturday. But anyway, go on YouTube.
10% chance of precipitation Saturday, 50% on Sunday.
Just say rain, Sean. Just say rain.
Precipitation.
Go on YouTube. This is for anybody. Go on YouTube. Look up Hulk Hogan, Big John Studd, 1985. Puerto Rico. Look
Sounds
that
like a
up.
Dog shit match. Sounds like a terrible match.
So it's an outdoor venue. And of course it's a big man shitty match. They're not doing a lot, but then Sean, basically a typhoon hit for a few minutes. It was pouring rain. They held each other in a bear hug because it's pouring rain. Yeah. So what else are they going to do? Then when the rain subsided a little bit, Hogan tried one atomic drop on John Studd. And when John Studd hit the mat, he slipped and fell on his ass.
Oh gosh.
And then after that, they rolled to the ground, and that was basically it. That was basically the match. Look that up on YouTube because it's there. Now I want to talk about who's currently missing from the WrestleMania card.
Yeah.
And when you look at the last year during this COVID era, and you look at who the utility players were on WWE television, who they really relied on to carry the load when they had limited rosters and everything due to COVID. On the Raw side, you had Drew McIntyre, you had Angel Garza, you had Zelina Vega, you had Andrade, you had Asuka, Cedric Alexander, Shelton Benjamin. They were used regularly on television during the COVID era. Drew obviously is getting his due because he's in the WWE title match. Asuka's in the Raw women's title match, although her usage in recent months has been shit. Poor Angel Garza. Now, who I really feel for, and we'll talk about this in a minute, I feel maybe of that whole list, I feel more for Cedric Alexander and Shelton Benjamin than anybody else, because those two guys were in one of the hottest factions, one of the hottest angles. Everybody's excited about Mania because they get to work in front of a live crowd. So yep. Everybody's excited about Mania. And then what do? 2 weeks before the show, they break up the faction and they announce that the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal is not going to be at WrestleMania. It's going to be on SmackDown, not in front of live fans. And Cedric and Shelton, two guys who are heavily featured on Raw, are going to be in the Battle Royal, not in front of live fans, and are going to essentially miss WrestleMania. That is a shame. That's
the number of dopes that I had quote tweeting me and saying,
you would complain that WrestleMania was too long if they were on the show. And I'm like, no, there are seven matches set for each show.
I watch wrestling every night of the week. Now I can handle eight matches, three and a half hours. What right. I don't like, Jimmy, is 7 hours, 16 matches.
Yes.
So to imply that 8 and 16 are the same means yes. you're dumb, but also I felt so bad. And you mentioned Angel Garza too. Yep. He helped carry Raw.
Yes, he did.
He helped carry Raw. Charlotte yes, Flair, you plug her in anywhere, she'll yep. make it, she'll do her best at least. Yep. Bayley yep. carried SmackDown
yep.
and Raw for a while, for the love of God.
Yep.
Carried multiple brands. I think they'll do something with Bayley. It would not surprise me if we'll kind of lump that in with the Hurt Business. It wouldn't surprise me if just she pops up and does ding dong hello, and then the person who walks through that door is Becky Lynch.
And I mean, that'd be great. It'd be great. It'd be great to see her.
But it would be really great. But you had mentioned the Hurt Business. Boy, yeah. was there some upset people over this. MVP and Lashley met with Vince McMahon. This was a Vince McMahon call and a Vince McMahon call on his own. He did not have a lot of support for this decision. And the way that it was told to me, again, I'm not back there, but the way that it was told yeah. to me by people very, very close to this situation was that when Vince McMahon feels almost ganged up on or feels like something like that happens, he digs his heels in even deeper. Yeah. And that's what he did. There were a lot of unhappy people, specifically the Hurt Business, over this.
Was an explanation given as to why?
I can tell you the explanation that I was given, and I don't know if it was this is the reason or we assume this is the reason. I want to clarify yeah. that. The reason I was given was, well, he wants it to just be Drew and Lashley. And I said, well, that doesn't make any sense because he already did a stipulation the week before where Cedric and Shelton got hurt. Or didn't get hurt. They got banned from ringside. Because then after that, Jimmy, you had a lot of people say, oh, well, it's a swerve. And now because they're not members of the Hurt Business, they can be out there. And I'm like, no, that wasn't the stipulation.
And it wouldn't make sense when Lashley kicked their asses.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like that doesn't work like that. People having to do these gymnastics in their head to make sense of stupid shit that WWE does.
Yeah.
And you know that it wasn't planned very far ahead because they did that match where they got banned from ringside, then split them up.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, why are you doing that stipulation if you know you're going to break them up? There were some really, really pissed off people here. Some people that are very upset for Shelton Benjamin specifically because they see that Cedric has more years in front of him than behind him in WWE. But yeah.
I mean, Ric Flair worked many title matches without the Horsemen at ringside. You know what I'm saying?
The fact that WWE think the only Vince thinks the only way that he can book such a situation because they're creatively bankrupt and lazy is to break up the entire stable instead of, I don't know, booking something good. This goes back to all the times we've seen people like Bianca Belair and AOP called up, then benched for months. And why were they benched for months? It's not because they weren't good. It's because it wasn't their time for their big push. And WWE is like, well, we don't know what to do with them if it's not their time for their big push, because otherwise we just beat them like a drum or we 50-50 them. And they knew that those teams or people were too special to 50-50, but couldn't think of anything. Here's a good idea. Have them win some matches and not lose some matches.
Even enhancement matches. You know what I mean?
Just they something. Did it with Braun. It worked. It worked really well.
Ryback. You know what I mean? I mean, the Punk cage match drew a much bigger number than they thought it would because of that.
I mean, you can't sit here and accuse Ryback of being a great worker.
Right.
He beat jobbers up so bad that when he was the guy that came out and saved Vince McMahon from CM Punk, you can go back and look. The arena was so crazy in Sacramento, the hard cam shook Jimmy. It was nuts. Christian Burton.
It's really a shame.
Yeah, or JL says her business was going to bring them in money long term. I don't get it.
They could have released action figures for them in suits with the belt. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
There's so much they could have done. And I really thought Cedric and Shelton were a very underrated tag team.
They were very good tag team. You know? I mean, they're still together, but
they're still together, but they're good heels. And they really worked so hard on 2-on-1 spots, you know, tag team spots. And they were a fun group. When Lashley won the belt, the photos of the four of them together wearing suits, holding the belts, like they're a good group, man. And they added an element to Lashley that made them different.
Yeah.
Having a faction. The whole thing is shit. And that leads me to Bayley. You know, last year, Bayley became the longest reigning SmackDown Women's Champion in the history of WWE. She held the title for 380 days, over a year.
And keep in mind, that was only interrupted by a 5-day Charlotte reign. So besides that, she held the title for like 16 months.
Right. And over that time, she beat everybody that they threw in front of her. And now currently she's off the WrestleMania 37 card. I like your idea that maybe she'll be part of the mystery team, but currently she's off the card. She spoke to Alex McCarthy from TalkSport. He asked her about it. And here's a quote from her. She said, "I cannot give you an honest answer. I don't know. I'm sorry, guys. It just didn't happen." And then she went on to add, "There's always next year." Mm-hmm. That's sad, man. When this person has been like your utility player for a year plus.
She said that she's got plenty of years ahead of her, which is good. But she has been everything WWE has asked. That heel turn worked wonders for her. I said that Bayley was my 2020 WWE MVP.
Right.
And you could lump Sasha in there as well, since they were a team for a lot of that. Mm-hmm. I really think that Bayley was the MVP. She worked both brands. She did the tag team division. She did she ran the world title. It was just, it's really disheartening to not see something special for her. Now, if you're doing something with Becky Lynch, okay. That's like, to me, that's up there with like hosting. Like I get why New Day wasn't booked a few years ago. They were hosting. Yep. Alexa Bliss, she hosted. If she's doing something with a returning Becky Lynch after a year, okay, you want to do that instead of that's a WrestleMania moment.
Right. If they go down that road. Yeah. I mean, you know what? This is something that I have to do with you all the time. Sometimes you got to put your best interests ahead of business. The best interests of your people. Sometimes you got to put them ahead of business. I do that with Sean Ross Sapp all the time, putting his best interests ahead of business. You know what I'm saying?
Sure do. Hopefully you do it a lot more too. I'm really liking that LASIK, Jimmy. I can tell you that much. But yeah, Bayley's gotta be involved somehow. And Jimmy, you know she's staying in WrestleMania shape. You know She's doing all the right things. And so can you when you use magicspoon.com/Fightful. That's right. If you're looking to get into WrestleMania shape, you don't have to give up cereal. Now, most cereal is full of sugar and junk and carbs, stuff that you really shouldn't eat, but not magicspoon.com/Fightful. 0 grams of sugar, 13, 14 grams of protein, only 4 net grams of carbs in each serving. Only 140 calories a serving. It's keto-friendly, gluten-free, grain-free, soy-free, low-carb, and GMO-free. Now, Jimmy, you told me about a personal experience that you had with Magic Spoon. You did a little mix, didn't you? You did a little mix, right?
I did a little mix, did I?
A little mix. Mixed that chocolate with that peanut butter?
I did do that.
You mixed that chocolate with that peanut butter, and it tasted like peanut butter cup?
It did.
So delicious.
Very delicious.
It's very delicious, Jimmy. You can build your own box with cocoa, fruity, frosted, peanut butter, cinnamon. I love cinnamon cereal. And if you're listening from Canada, Magic Spoon now ships there as well. Go to magicspoon.com/Fightful. Get that custom box. Use our promo code Fightful. Save $5 off your order. This offer is now good anywhere in the U.S. or Canada, but only when you use your code at checkout. So use that code Fightful at checkout. Magic Spoon is so confident in their product, it's backed with a 100% happiness guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they will refund your money. No questions asked. But let's be real. You're not going to want your money back. You're going to be like, man, I should probably just go back and order some more. The thing I love most about this is it fills you up with that one serving. MagicSpoon.com/Fightful. We're happy to have them here through the rest of the year, Jimmy.
What's your favorite non-Magic Spoon cereal?
I don't need other cereal now, so I don't have one. I use magicspoon.com/Fightful.
That's it.
So do you. So next topic.
All right. 20 years ago, Sean, this will tell you about the state of mind now. And I'm just going to say with Vince McMahon, when it comes to how to get heat based around cars, 20 years ago, you had Stone Cold Steve Austin flooding Vince McMahon's Corvette with cement and completely destroying the car, and that's how you got heat for that program. 20 years later, Miz is finger painting on a Bugatti. Mm-hmm. Finger painting on a Bugatti, and that's how they thought they were going to get heat. I saw that on Raw thinking, that's going to piss off Bad Bunny?
It's a $3 million car.
Yeah, take it through a car wash, you're good. You know what I'm saying? He's using some water-based finger paints. He's doing little rating on the car hood there, Sean. Come on.
To be fair, he has done interviews where he's talked about how much he hates that car.
I saw you put that article up.
But that's really stupid. They did that. They did it last year with Braun and Miz and Morrison, if you remember. They beat up his car.
Was that the one when they turned it into a toy set? Remember there was a toy set of the red car?
Something, I don't know, but they tore up his car as like Trans Am or something like that. I don't know.
Well, let's talk about NXT TakeOver, because some of the matches on this card are banger matches. Some of them should be on the Mania card. Night one is live tonight. We're doing this on April 7, and it's going to be interesting because it's going to be live not just on USA but also on Peacock. And some of the matches that you're going to see tonight, Io Shirai, Raquel Gonzalez, that's a hell of a matchup, and that's going to headline. The size discrepancy between those two, Sean, hell of a matchup. Tommaso Ciampa, Walter, that's going to be really, really good. Hmm. Pete Dunne, Kushida, that should be pretty good. And then they're going to have the number one contender gauntlet for the North American title. So that's some pretty solid matches. And then night two, Thursday, April 8, which is only going to be on Peacock in the U.S. and on WWE Network outside the U.S., or if you're using Surfshark within the U.S. NXT title, Finn Balor, Kieran Cross, is pretty good. Kyle O'Reilly is pretty good. And then the North American title, Gargano against whoever wins the gauntlet. Pretty solid matches, man, for NXT the next two nights.
Yes, there is. And sorry that I looked a little distracted. Something else caught my attention, not to bury NXT. Hornswoggle is doing a rough and rowdy boxing fight at the end of the month.
Against who?
Against somebody named Dynamite for the BF. Or BMFM title. Oh my God, I can't wait. But NXT TakeOver, by the way, guys, I'm going to have a post show on Select for myself, I think late Thursday night, I'll be doing media calls after Thursday and Friday night. Denise will be on the post show Thursday night on Fightful. We got Jeremy tonight. There's so many good matches on this show. Yeah. It needs to be Raquel's crowning moment. Needs to be Raquel's crowning moment.
Yeah.
Because if they didn't keep those tag titles on them and don't put the title on her here, ooh boy, I'll be just so annoyed.
I agree. I mean, for me, Ciampa Walter, that's going to be interesting. Bit of a size discrepancy, but that's going to be a good one. Now, AEW doesn't want to get lost in the shuffle with all of this NXT buzz that's going on this week. So what did they do? They're bringing back Iron Mike Tyson, who I'm sure is going to smoke weed in the locker room before he goes out there. Iron Mike Tyson is going to be on AEW. Yeah, he would never do that. He would never do that. I'm an idiot for suggesting such a thing, really.
You are.
I'm just a stupid person. Like Braun Strowman, I suppose, going in his match with Shane McMahon. But Iron Mike Tyson is going to be on Dynamite this week, and this should be pretty solid. Moxley, Young Bucks, Omega, Good Brothers, pretty solid six-man, bud.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty good.
Good show. I got an interview with Gallows going up Thursday. Oh, my God, so much stuff. He gave me a week's worth of select scoops over there. Yeah. Wouldn't tell me if he gets two checks, though. Wouldn't tell me if he gets specifically an AEW check.
Oh, 100%. They take care of him. 100%. And is he still with April Hunter? Is it him and April Hunter still together?
No. Let's not speculate on who's dating
no,
who.
No, they were married, I thought.
But no, different person. That was...
Oh
different,
was it?
Different person. Yes. Oh, yes, it was different person. Right. But he said, you know who wants that scoop more than you? The boys. I was
really?
Yeah, well played. But yeah, AEW looks really, really good. NXT is looking crazy. Can't wait. And it's wild how somehow wrestling an extra night next week eases the Fightful schedule, but it does. We got a lot of cool things. I mentioned Alex Pawlowski will be doing Sour Graps every Tuesday after NXT, free for everybody. And that will lead into his select show, which reviews Raw. But we do have a couple more super chats. Guys, get them in. We're heading down the home stretch, and we are on a tight schedule today. Kurt says, I'm smoking with Iron Mike right now. I don't doubt it. Jermaine Presley says, I can see Bayley interfering in the Sasha Banks-Bianca match. I can't.
She has been part of the story.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that. I think you want to leave that match completely untouched. All due respect. And Ali Bazzi says, Jeff not at Mania, so no more words. Any news?
Sitting on the bench. Maybe they didn't like the ESPN interview.
I don't think they cared about that. I just don't think they got anything for him.
No,
right
they
now.
Got nothing for him. No.
And he's 40-something. He has okay matches. I mean,
is he listed in the Battle Royal even?
Yeah, he's in the Battle Royal. But
he's in the Battle Royal.
They filmed that a week ago, so... But yeah, I think we're going to see Bayley do ding dong hello. I think we'll see Charlotte maybe pop up and say, here's the queen, and insert herself in the Raw match, which I think would actually be good.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah,
there are options. There's room for people on the card because there's still only seven matches per show right now.
And what do you think the plan is for Mike Tyson on AEW? Do you think they might actually set up a match, whether it be with Jericho or somebody else?
I don't think so, because Mike is they're trying to finalize that Holyfield thing, right? They're still trying to do that.
Through.
And that's where Mike's money and priority is right now.
Yeah.
It should be on getting that, because that is it might be a $5 to $10 million payday for him, Jimmy.
Well, so Holyfield's camp alleges that they offered him a $25 million guarantee.
Oh, yeah.
Holyfield's camp alleges it. And Tyson's, yes. I don't want to go too deep behind the scenes. Should I even say this on the air? Okay. Let me try to say this as kindly as I can. I, in the past, was witness to what the handlers around some of these boxers, the way they treat them.
Yeah.
I have been personally witness to guys being told to sign stuff without reading it and stuff like that, handling their negotiations. I've been witness to that. Tyson is not privy to his own negotiations. You know what I'm saying? His people are doing it for him, and he doesn't even know. And so that's why when Tyson, I think it was on TMZ or something, Tyson went on a podcast to talk about his scheduled fight with Evander Holyfield, and the host of the podcast had to tell him it had fallen through because Mike didn't know.
Oh, God.
Because his handlers are handling it for him. That's the problem sometimes with these guys.
Woof.
Yeah, I mean, it's unfortunate, but it happens. And like I said, I have personally witnessed it before. I even I don't want to go too deep in this topic. I was going to step in one time for Evander. I was going to step in. I didn't like what I was seeing one time.
Yeah.
So let's leave it at that. I probably said more than I should. What do you think of this? Right after night two of WrestleMania on April 11 on Peacock in the U.S., WWE Network outside the U.S., latest edition of Steve Austin's Broken Skull Sessions is going to feature none other than WWE superstar, AEW superstar Chris Jericho. What do you think of that, Sean?
I think that Vince was just being absent-minded, signed off on it, and it won't happen again.
You think so?
Yep. That's what I think.
I think that it is a brilliant move for Vince McMahon.
Yeah.
If he gave it any thought whatsoever, I think it was a brilliant move for Vince McMahon. And of course, Tony Khan. I've seen a few interviews where Tony Khan's like, oh, yeah, I signed off on that. You think Tony Khan was going to say, no, I definitely don't want you doing that. You know what I mean? This is a brilliant thing for WWE because you want to give Peacock something. You want to show them, you know, look what we're doing to help you guys try to generate subscribers and keep subscribers. Everybody was talking about Jericho going on Broken Skull Sessions. With all due respect to the past guests, Randy Orton, Sasha Banks, whoever else, no one, I don't think, has sparked the interest of having AEW star Jericho on there. And so I think it's a good thing for Peacock. And obviously, if you're AEW, you're going to have that WrestleMania audience that might not know what AEW is learning and talking about AEW. So it's I think it's a win-win for both sides.
And as we wrap up, we have a few super chats about Tyson. Nick says Riddle and Tyson shouldn't be in the same car and supervised. You think we'll see the part-timers back for AT&T next Mania? They'll need the huge bilge.
Yeah.
I think we will see them back. Yes. I think they should probably do either Four Horsewomen main event or Rousey Becky. And I think they're going to do, hopefully, Rock and Reigns.
Right. If he's into it. Yeah. Yeah. I could see Cena wanting to do it too, because they're going to promote 100,000 people and all that. So,
will Mike Tyson be hiding on an AEW? Yes. Yes.
Oh, Sean's on board with me now, aren't you?
Yes,
Sean?
I am. Yes. Zach Barber says Mike Tyson joins the inner circle is my guess. That would be interesting. As long as he doesn't bring that fucking goof with him.
Yes.
That goof that had
Mickey
his
Gooch
the Gooch.
Yes, that's right.
That had his face painted and was like making a joke out of everything. It was, or even if he wasn't, he just wasn't good.
And why was Vitor Belfort even there the last time? Why was Rashad Evans there?
Just because they were. They were. And they weren't even mentioned. Dante says, for the Denise, yeah, we need those super chats to step up. We gave Denise a hefty raise and more work. But Jimmy, anything else you got?
We're going to go to the list goes on. We're going to talk some Triple H stuff. Triple H talking to the NXT locker room. Triple H talking to CM Punk. Going to talk about Hunter talking about a potential matchup for Mania next year. I want to talk about some New Japan stuff. I want to talk about post-Mania. WWE, and I want to say a few things to Zicky Dice.
Oh,
the
boy.
The list goes on, FightfulSelect.com. I don't know if Zicky Dice ever watches this stuff, but if you don't, I want you to watch the list.
He's a friend, Jimmy, so...
Okay, I want him to watch
the list. Don't fuck that up, okay?
No, I'm not going to fuck it up. I'm going to help him out. Okay. So the list goes on, FightfulSelect.com. You can check that out.
Please leave a thumbs up on this video, guys. We had previews with Emily Heller on Monday for NXT TakeOver. We had a preview with Steven Larson of Going in Raw yesterday. You guys seem to really love that. Post shows after both nights of NXT. I've got my post show on Fightful Select this week. I've got a Q&A over there. If you guys like all that juicy, exclusive news, subscribe to FightfulSelect.com, because every Sunday or Monday, I do a show that is just exclusive news for like 15 to 20 minutes. It is a very quick listen, and it's only news that you're going to hear from Fightful.com first. Check it out. And we are here for WrestleMania Saturday and Sunday. Show up here every day. How about that? Until next time, guys, we're out.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.